You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
So at the beginning of the show today, we were talking about the Chiefs game last night.
Yeah.
In Atlanta. By the way, I feel sorry for people on the East Coast when it comes to professional and, for that matter, college football. If you're on the East Coast, but in particular Atlanta last night, presumably your favorite team is the Falcons.
Sure.
That game doesn't even start until 8:20 at night.
Yeah. Well, did you see the K-State game on Saturday night?
Yeah. What happened there?
I'm not really sure. Not the way the game was played, but why did it start so late?
Who are they playing?
BYU? No.
Yeah, I think it was BYU. Was it at BYU?
They got smoked.
Yeah, they got smoked.
Was it at BYU, though?
Let's find out.
You know, my first...
Yeah, because that's Mountain Time Zone.
Mm-hmm. K-State experience is this weekend.
Parents weekend at the...
Yep. Cannot wait.
Yes, they were at BYU.
That explains it right there.
And they got whooped.
I got my purple sweatshirt. Now it is sweater weather. And
so you're going to cover it up with something red?
We have like a farmhouse or something we're staying in. Like the whole family. No, I'm
serious.
Don't
get any bird flu.
Wait, you got a place to stay?
Oh, yes, we did.
Did you have to take out a second mortgage?
No, we did not. I'm telling you, every once in a while, I get lucky.
That was part of the joke.
Thank you, Sam.
You're welcome.
I get lucky, and a friend of my dad's, a good buddy of his that plays golf, DM'd me on Facebook and said, hey, if you're still looking for a place, reach out to my buddy. He's got a place. Boom, 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 done. So I'm super excited for my first Manhattan experience.
Well, they want to make sure that your conversion goes smoothly.
Yes. I mean, I do need some help in that arena, the chanting and the cheering, but I'm all in. I'm so excited.
Well, it goes F.
No, we will not be chanting those things. No, we will not.
I was at Faurot Field over the weekend. Over in Columbia, the Mizzou game.
Oh, how'd that go?
Well, I was cheering more than the Mizzou fans. As a KU fan, I was cheering more for Mizzou than the Mizzou fans. I was expecting, because they are such diehard fans, that it would be the most electric experience of my life.
Meh.
It was not.
You should tell them to go to Allen Fieldhouse sometime if they want the actual experience.
Pretty disappointing.
Oh, boy. Wow.
I'm going to... we have Parents Weekend at UCM this Saturday.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been up in the plane with her yet?
No.
When does that happen?
When she gets hired by Delta.
Okay. You don't get a private flight?
Oh, I'm sure I will.
You could probably go get one right now.
You will have to keep your...
Can we change the subject?
Yes. She lands your most precious cargo, all the time.
I know, and I trust her. I'm just nervous. I will go up with that sweet baby.
Are you nervous about...
It's not the going up, it's the coming down that you want to make sure she nails.
My behavior on board.
Uh-huh. Are you sure you want to touch that dial?
Mm-hmm. Oh, going up is easy. Stuff.
Scott,
yeah,
you're going to love it because you know
crash
I went
hard.
Up in that tiny plane.
Stop it.
With
hey, it's controlled.
My friend, who is a 40-year pilot, and it was one of the most exhilarating, lovely, you will not be nervous at all. It is the coolest way to see the landscape below. I mean, I was like, well, look at that. There's Kauffman Stadium.
I got my burial plot for the next 15 minutes.
All right. Speaking of Kauffman, I just got an email from the Royals. Everyone pay attention. This is important. We need your help getting Salvi the Roberto Clemente Award. Mm-hmm. And the Royals just sent an email to a couple of the newsrooms and to me personally and said, could you please share with everybody, just vote. All you have to do is vote for Salvi. I am telling you, it takes 12 seconds to vote for Salvi. And I posted this on Dana Wright KMBZ. Dan's going to post it on KMBZ. This is how you do it. It's MLB.com/community/Roberto Clemente Award. MLB.com, just find the thing on MLB.com that says Roberto Clemente Award. This is not hard. And then right below that, there's like, I don't know, 25 choices. Go to S for Salvador Perez, click vote, hit submit, submit your email address. That's it. And then you can opt out of, yes, I'd like to be notified by MLB. I opted out of that. And then you hit vote. It takes seconds. Please vote for Salvi. This is like the community award for the best person in the community who does the most good.
Community involvement, sportsmanship, and the individual's contribution to his team.
He plays wiffle ball with children he doesn't know.
No, he's a great guy.
This award has to go to Salvi.
Aaron Judge won it last year from the New York
I'm happy for Aaron Judge. Did you know, and this is according to the Royals email, let me go back. I believe that a Royals player, oh, hold please, never in the history of this honor has a Royals player won. Regardless of this, they write, the work that Salvi does goes far beyond Kansas City, from his work at the Kansas City Urban Youth Academy to feeding families in Venezuela to crossing the border on foot to Colombia during COVID shutdowns. Salvi is a captain on the field and a hero off. Never in the history of the honor has a Royals player won this thing.
Because of the size of the fan base. These popular vote awards usually go to players in major market cities.
Okay. I deny that we are not a major market city. We're, and we have huge reach here, Scott. We enjoy huge reach. Dayton Park's family, far and wide.
By baseball standards, we're a mid-market team.
I just am saying that I think if we tell everyone to vote for Salvi, you know.
I would encourage them
when you're
to do
paying
that.
Bills or something, open your laptop, go to MLB.com, click on Roberto Clemente Award. And then remind me, Roberto Clemente was...
He was a baseball player, I think for the Pirates, if I'm not mistaken.
Very popular person. It led many lovely community things.
He was an outfielder, Hall of Famer.
Yes.
He played for the Pirates.
In the
1950s.
Speaking of sports knowledge, Dan,
15-time All-Star.
You were not on this thread last night. We were watching Chiefs game.
Yeah.
And I start to get real stressed out around 7 because if kickoff is at 7:15, I got to get those bets in, FanDuel.com/Dana. And I said, oh my God, it was 7 o'clock. I go, oh, I got to get my bets in. I said, who's going to score first? You know, I love that bet. Who's going to score first? And I said, I've got it. It is Pacheco. I am betting on Pacheco.
Last night?
Yes. Swing and a miss.
So
Isaiah the Boot Pacheco?
I mean, for the past week, we have been reporting on Pacheco's sideline.
Crazy surgery.
Fun fact.
And surgery.
Rodden pins.
The line on that thing, if you had bet a dollar for him to score first, you would win like $1 billion.
Right.
Yeah.
Because he's nowhere near the stadium.
You're automatically out a dollar.
We call that a donation.
He wasn't even there.
I bet on Xavier Worthy to score twice. That also did not happen.
No, but you know, we were talking in the 2 o'clock hour today about the national reputation that the Chiefs have.
They don't like us very much.
Everybody hates us. We get all the calls. Here's this from the New York Post. This one didn't help calm the Chiefs get all the calls narrative.
Nope.
Kansas City used a controversial non-call Sunday night to escape with a 22-17 road win over the Falcons just 1 week after a late pass interference set up a game-winning field goal against the Bengals.
I noticed that story left out the three very obvious non-calls that the other team got directly after that.
It doesn't matter, Sam. The narrative is already out there, and anything that happens that goes in our favor, everyone else that is not in Kansas City freaks out.
Applying logic and reason, just, you know.
The back-to-back champion Chiefs are in that territory where they are believed to be the benefactors of each and every call, with plenty of notable flags or non-flags going their way in recent years. And then this story from the New York Post. Travis Kelce was barely a factor in the Chiefs' third straight win to start the 2024 NFL season. The all-pro tight end appeared somber when NBC cameras captured him on the bench while the Falcons held a 14-10 lead over Kansas City before halftime. They go on to list.
Did you not see the look on his face on the bench?
Oh, sure.
Oh, ho.
That was bad.
Kelce was outshined again by second-year wideout Rashee Rice.
Was on fire.
Kelce has 8 catches, 69 yards, 0 touchdowns in 3 games.
He's only been targeted 12 times.
Okay, so
that's 4 per game.
Well, he's not the only one on the team.
Twitter, I'm going to tell you this right now. If you go on Twitter and search that particular player, people are saying, what happened? What has happened? Where is the magic? Where is the mojo? And I think, you know, you can have a difficult game.
Taylor stole it.
No, don't you dare say that.
His eyes are all on Hollywood, not the football field.
It looks like, and he's not crying. He's not, I want to be clear. But at one point, he's wiping his eyes. You know, there's dirt in his eye or dust or something.
He looks bored.
It's Georgia. It's hot and sweaty.
I'm going to use a different word. He looks forlorn.
Forlorn?
He looks forlorn.
Can you define forlorn?
It's what he's doing right there. He looks forlorn. Like somebody just picked him last on the, you know.
Well, if you look at his stats, they pretty much did.
Pitiful, abandoned, and lonely.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if he's on pace to catch 300 yards this season.
I think it's going to pick up. I think they're trying to get other people involved because at some point, Kelce won't be there anymore.
Yeah, but when you've got the better tasting ketchup in the fridge, you don't go with the generic.
Well, so here's the deal, though. Yeah. Mahomes addressed this
in the news conference.
They have run many plays that would typically have Kelce being the number one receiver on that play. But every time they run those plays, and they don't dive deep into the playbook early on in the season, that's part of the Andy Reid magic, is they run the basic plays, the plays that people have seen before early in the season. And every time they run one of these plays that Kelce's going to be the target, he gets double and triple teamed.
Right.
And so they got to go to option two or option three.
Right.
Listen to this. Mahomes
Which
can't throw.
Which develops the team even better.
Listen to this from Twitter. Mahomes can't throw to Kelce every play. This is the NFL, elite of the elite athletes. This is not backyard. It's easy to say he's open on the third replay. Patrick has to read and react in real time. It's also week three.
From the text line, Kelce is in love. Football doesn't matter.
No, I disagree with that wholeheartedly. You can have both. You can love your career and find the love of your life.
Got so much love to give.
Oh my gosh.
Love to the game.
As we've seen in previous seasons, sometimes certain players just will stand out in certain games against certain teams. I mean, last night we had Goldilocks doing an amazing job, you know.
Did you just call one of my favorite players who was an undrafted free agent whose sister got married yesterday during the game?
Fabio, the man of steel.
Goldilocks.
Carson Steele himself.
He also took one in the ribs, and I thought 911 needed to be called.
The owner of Crocky J.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I mean, last night, he, Steele, and Rashee Rice stood out.
They were on
next game
fire.
They might not, and it might be somebody else. You know,
our Dan, show Carson favorite Steele Noah Gray might is be always amazing. Going to stand out. You stand corrected.
913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie, I'm Scott here on KMBZ. Couple of quick headlines to bring to your attention. Authorities in Birmingham, Alabama are now offering a reward of up to $100,000 for information to help identify multiple people who opened fire in a bustling entertainment district on Saturday night as part of what they're now calling a targeted hit that left 4 people dead, 17 injured, including many bystanders. Oh, officers responded to reports of a shooting in Five Points South in Birmingham around 11 o'clock to find 3 unresponsive people who were later declared dead. A fourth person died at an area hospital. 17, as I mentioned, were injured. The reward for information that leads to an arrest, $100,000.
Listen to this. A 16-year-old girl from Topsfield, Massachusetts, is recovering from minor burns after her portable phone charger exploded, igniting a fire at her friend's house over the weekend. Her name is Audra. She was watching a movie with friends when her phone, which was magnetically attached to a portable charger, burst into flames. She says, quote, "I looked down and my whole arm was covered in flames. It hurt."
Lithium ion batteries exploding.
Flame scorched her sweatshirt, left small burns on her arm, a loud sizzling noise followed, and the back of the phone blew up. Thick black smoke filled the room, causing a panic among the teens. "We were afraid the house was going to go down, too." Quoting here from Dad, "If they had been asleep in bed, this would have been catastrophic. They would not have had time to get out." Ooh, listen to this. According to Dad, the pillows on the bed where all the girls were hanging out watching this movie, quote, "melted like plastic." The girls managed to evacuate safely as firefighters arrived to put out the fire. Portable charger was purchased on Amazon. It was plugged in at the time of the explosion.
Speaking of plastic, 2 stories involving plastics and the state of California. California Attorney General Rob Bonta today filed a lawsuit against ExxonMobil, alleging that the company has engaged in a decades-long effort to mislead the public about the recyclability of plastics. Bonta accusing ExxonMobil of deceiving Californians for half a century with deceptive public statements and marketing tools that positioned recycling as a solution to a burgeoning plastic waste problem.
Now, why would they do that?
Because plastics are made from oil, petroleum.
And if people think that it's bad for the environment, they'll stop using them and their profits will go down.
Here's your second California plastic story from the Associated Press. Paper or plastic will no longer be a choice at any grocery store in California.
Oh!
And this might be a topic. I don't know if you guys decide. Under a new law signed yesterday by Governor Gavin Newsom that bans all plastic shopping bags in the state. California had already banned thin plastic shopping bags at supermarkets, but shoppers could purchase bags made with a thicker plastic that purportedly made them reusable and recyclable. We've already done the recyclable part in that lawsuit. The new measure, which was approved by state lawmakers last month, bans all plastic shopping bags starting in 2026. Customers who don't bring their own bags will be given a paper bag. Okay.
Have you read, or is it an old wives' tale, Sam, that the paper bags are also, like, leave a bigger carbon footprint or
that
whatever?
Would be correct. They are also very not good for the environment.
But they also, what's the word I'm looking for here?
They don't create trash islands in the middle of the ocean.
For 500 years. I mean, they always said styrofoam and plastic take about 500 years to decompose was the word I was looking for. Paper bags decompose in less than a year.
It's not decompose. It's breakdown, but not decompose. What's the word?
Isn't that the same thing?
No, what's the word, Sam?
Decompose.
In a landfill. Like, diapers never do it. The word is not decompose. It's another word. Anyway, sorry.
I'm sorry.
Diapers and those clamshell, they call them clamshells. You know, a lot of the burger places, though, have gone to, like, really thin cardboard. Because of
like
that.
Like the Big Mac at McDonald's comes
in
that.
You remember for years it was styrofoam. I mean, there's probably enough of those clamshells made out of styrofoam to circle the globe 20 times just from the 80s.
I bet when it comes to just plastic waste, we've done more damage in less than 100 years on this planet than in all the thousands of years that humans have been on the planet.
Well, it's because they hadn't discovered how to turn oil into plastic yet.
Well, they also hadn't discovered oil.
True. Biodegradable.
Yeah, biodegradable. That's
the
word.
Thank you. It does not biodegrade.
I like decompose.
I said decompose. Now you're just making up words. A state lawmaker, Catherine Blakespear, pointed to a study, state study, that found that the amount of plastic shopping bags trashed per person grew to 11 pounds of plastic. Per person.
11 pounds.
That you throw away in the trash in 2021.
See, I try to reuse them, but in the way that I use them inside of our waste paper baskets in the bathrooms, they do get more than one use, but then
they go to the landfill. But I don't even know that they're worried so much, they being environmentalists, and I sort of kind of consider myself one. It's not that they end up in the landfill, it's that they end up on the side of the highway, or even worse yet, in the ocean.
Most of them do end up in the ocean. Even if they do go to a landfill, they blow out of the landfill and end up in the ocean. And it kind of backfired because this is not a new issue in California. They've had the 10 cents per bag thing for a long time. And it backfired on them because they thought that would promote people to bring their own reusable bags. It didn't. They just complained about paying the 10 cents and paid the 10 cents every time. So I guess they got money out of it, but it didn't exactly get the job done. And then when they switch to the thicker plastic, those take longer to biodegrade.
It's all very depressing.
You mean decompose.
Thank you. Those plastics
biodecompose.
Like, break down into tiny little bits of microplastic, like teeny tiny. And then the fish eat that and it ends up in your food. Mm-hmm. And now we are all going to die of fluorocarbon ingestion.
913-586-7798. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. No, it's not the end. But we're getting closer. Andy in Overland Park. Andy, hello.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
I was calling in. I heard your guys' last segment about the paper bags, and it made me think. Last night I was listening to a radio show with a lawyer from California, and he was talking about the new laws going in. And what he was saying from being out there was at first they outlawed all the regular thin plastic bags to try and get those out of the way, so people would buy these bigger, thicker plastic bags and use them over and over again. But what ended up happening was the people who used those bags in the first place kept on using them, and everybody else who could no longer use the disposable plastic bags just paid 10 cents for the bigger plastic bags and threw them away the way they always did. And it makes me think of, you know, government tries to legislate a problem into a solution, and it always backfires. Something always happens where it doesn't mesh with human nature. So,
well, Andy, on a global scale, we talked about this last week with China halting the overseas adoption policy, which was born, no pun intended, out of the horrifying issue of especially the little girls over there being abandoned because of the one child per family.
Which China no longer has. They did away with that. But Andy, to your point, and you're right to an extent, I think.
People will do whatever they have to do to find their way around most of those regulations, but sometimes with generational consequences.
But we can all agree that we use way, and it's not just a U.S. problem, it's a world problem. We use way too much plastic. It takes way too long to go away. The plastic that you get your orange juice in, or your milk or whatever, or your Coke can or your water bottle, it takes 500 years for that plastic to, what's the word we're going with again? Decompose?
Sure.
Decompose.
Biodegrade.
Breakdown.
Biodegrade. Thank you. I couldn't remember it. But go to the grocery store sometime this week and try to buy all the things that you need in one way or another, because they do sell milk in, you know, paper or whatever they're called, containers, paper-based containers.
Well, you have to go glass.
Yeah, you can do that.
Because even the paper-based ones are lined in plastic, and that's still not going to biodegrade.
But Sam, we've come full circle, because I just looked this up. If you go all the way back to the 1940s, when DuPont started sponsoring advertisements for things like Tupperware and plastics, this says, listen, after World War II, plastic manufacturers showcased their products at the first National Plastics Exposition, featuring materials that could withstand the elements, clear packaging, and dishes that could be, quote, dropped without breaking. Their entire ad campaign was, these are cheap, easy to throw away, and meant to be used for short periods of time.
And they turned out to be exactly right.
In the worst way.
Yeah.
My favorite product that I've ever seen in plastic was a peeled orange in a plastic container. Okay. As if nature didn't give it a container already.
Okay.
That's fantastic.
Orange ain't going to encase itself. Oh, wait.
Vicky in Independence. Hello, Vicky.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
We're doing well. Thank you.
I was just wondering, I've been listening and you've been bickering about this word. Would disintegrate be one of the words you'd be looking for?
It certainly never disintegrates. Maybe, Vicky, yeah.
Because it just kind of mushes and stays.
Well, let me make you feel worse. People around the world today buy almost 1 million plastic beverage bottles every minute.
Minute? I thought you were going to say day.
People around the world buy almost 1 million plastic beverage bottles a minute.
And that's one of the biggest culprits, and that plastic can't be recycled because it is, quote unquote, tainted.
Oh, gosh.
That's right.
We were trained, listen to this. Mm-hmm. We were trained to buy this stuff. These identical multiple objects that are meant to be used for a short period of time and then replaced with an identical one. And that took cultural training. Quoting here from Odile Madden, a plastic conservation scientist, quoting here to the Huffington Post. They actually trained us to do this after World War II.
Yep.
Well, and you talk about the microplastics getting into the fish, and we're getting dangerously close to taking a deep dive into some borderline conspiracy theories here. If you let the bottle sit out and get hot in the sun, those microplastics just go straight into what you're drinking.
The cans are actually what began the single-use system. Like, think soda pop. Mm-hmm. A can couldn't be returned and refilled like a glass bottle, because once a glass bottle is cracked or cut open, there's no way to replace the top. So marketers came up with a very strong campaign to convince all of us that life would be easier if we just didn't have to return glass bottles.
But then we started to recycle the aluminum cans.
From the text line, undisintegratable.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, guys. You know, I've always wondered, because I do a lot of recycling at my house. I try to recycle anything that I possibly can. But I've never been convinced that what I put in the blue-topped trash can in my garage ever ends up being used for another product ever again. Am I just fooling myself?
No, I think it makes you feel better to do that than do it.
So to answer your question, Dana just said the same thing I'm going to say. Yes, you're fooling yourself. But if it makes you feel good,
then
have
why,
a day.
Then why even bother? Then why don't if companies really don't recycle very much?
Look at this old Adam, sorry.
Then why not just tell us that? Now some containers say made from 90% recycled material. That has to be accurate or that's false advertising.
Sam, in this old 1950s ad, picture a woman on the left in her high-waisted polyester pants with all of these glass soda bottles. And she looks frazzled. She's got several of them under one arm. She's got a paper bag that is breaking under the other arm. And she's just like, bah! Okay. Then on the right, there's a woman walking toward a trash can and just dumping all of this plastic in the trash. This is what the ad reads. Tote those empties or toss them away. Why make hard work out of enjoying soft drinks? Every delicious flavor now comes in throwaway steel cans. No deposits, no returns. And soft drinks in steel cans taste so darn good. Brought to you by Bethlehem Steel. Look at her on the right.
By a company that
she has an easy life. She's blonde. She's more attractive. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about this ad.
She's wearing
more fashionable clothing, and she is just throwing all this in the trash can with a smile on her face.
And she's outdoors with a family behind her.
Yep.
The other lady's standing in front of an orange wall.
The haggard lady on the left.
Standing in front of an orange wall.
She's outdoors enjoying it before it disappears because she's throwing all this crap away.
This ad is hilarious.
Somebody writes, I go ahead and recycle my plastic. I figure if 10% gets recycled, then it was worth it.
The startup Loop has now partnered with a number of big brands to go back to square one, Scott. Mm-hmm. And this shows Häagen-Dazs will now deliver household goods in reusable, returnable metal containers.
And we just take it back to the shopping, to
full
the grocery
circle.
Store?
Yep. Yep.
That's fine. I buy Chateau milk a lot just because of the fact that it gets reused. And I like that.
And they'll come to your door.
I was going to say, you have to return the bottles, though, because if you're buying all the bottles and you don't recycle the glass, you're just as bad as the people.
But Sam, returning the bottles, your incentive to do that is you get paid at the front counter.
They overcharge you on Chateau on the front end, but you get that money back when you take the bottles into the grocery store.
It's a milk investment.
It is. And plus, Chateau milk is local.
And delicious.
Eric Menendez is slamming the dishonest portrayal of his life in Netflix Monsters, the Lyle and Eric Menendez story. Menendez was convicted with his older brother Lyle, of course, of the fatal 1989 shootings of their parents, Kitty and Jose Menendez. The two brothers, who are serving life sentences for those murders, have long argued that they acted in self-defense.
Agreed.
After enduring a lifetime of abuse by their father. In a statement shared on social media by his wife, Eric Menendez called the series, which was co-created by Ryan Murphy and Ian Brennan, ruinous. Quoting here, I believed we had moved beyond the lies and ruinous character portrayals of Lyle, creating a caricature of Lyle, rooted in horrible and blatant lies rampant in the show. It is with a heavy heart that I say I believe Ryan Murphy cannot be this naive and inaccurate about the facts of our lives so as to do this without bad intent. Have you seen it? It's a nine.
I have not, and if it portrays the boys in a negative light, because Monsters can either be taken either way. Is Monsters, as the name of this suggests, the boys are monsters? I would argue the monsters were mom and dad.
Okay.
They have long, and I think it was substantiated, they just couldn't, the evidence was not allowed back then in court. They have long stated that the abuse of one of the brothers started at age 6 in horrible ways that I will not speak into a microphone, and that, quote, it was an open secret in the family that when dad went into the room and closed the door, you were not to disturb them.
And mom allegedly knew about it?
It was widely known that dad would shower with his sons well into their teenage years. Brothers claimed their mom knew what was happening. They told her, but their accounts were dismissed.
Huh. Telephone number 913-586. On that happy note, 7798. 586-7798.
When you hear monsters, do not automatically assume that they are talking about the boys.
Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott here on KMBZ. Couple of stories to bring to your attention before we get to the top of the hour news. From CNBC, Southwest Airlines has warned employees that it will have to make difficult decisions to boost profits as the carrier faces pressure from activist Elliott Investment Management, which has sought leadership changes at the company. So you have to lose your middle-class job so that I can keep my super upper-class job. I got it.
Makes sense.
Yeah, sure does.
Totally.
So you have to worry about where the food's coming from next week because I never have. Southwest over the summer announced a host of major changes to its more than 50-year-old business model to drum up revenue. Plans to ditch the open seating for assigned seats, offer seats with more legroom that fetch a higher fare, and start red-eye flights. What?
Read a story today talking to one of my finance friends that one possible solution to a problem really with no solution that is Social Security is that for higher wage earners, when it comes our time, whenever that is to retire, they will do some sort of sliding scale where even though, Scott, let's say you make $100,000 every year since you were 30, where even though you paid all of that in, you will not get the same percentage out. Because it is like by what, 2033, it's expected to pay what, 70 cents on the dollar?
We'll get into that a little bit next hour on the show. But what they really need to do if they want to...
Then stop making me pay it in.
If they want to...
Let me invest it.
If they want to save Social Security, they need to, and I believe they this is still the fact. Sam, would you mind looking this up if you don't mind as I tell this? I'm almost positive this is still in effect. They have a cap of, I think it's $105,000. So you pay Social Security up and until you go over the threshold of $105,000. And then if you make
in August or September or October, there's like some where your paycheck will get a little bit bigger. And that's because they've stopped withdrawing.
I don't know if that's how it works necessarily, but it might be. But after once you hit that threshold of paying taxes on Social Security taxes on $105,000, if you make $200,000, you still pay the same amount of Social Security taxes as somebody who makes $105,000. Does that make sense?
Yep.
And I don't believe they've ever lifted that cap. And they should. They should lift that cap. How come just because you make more money?
Why not let me invest it?
I've argued that from day one. Give me a piece of paper when I was 22 years old, graduating from KU, that said you would never take a dime for Social Security out of my check. But when I turn 65, I'm on my own.
Okay, but...
But the argument then is if people don't invest it, we're going to have a bunch of old people.
The economy would crash, Sam.
That's my problem.
Because people wouldn't do it. I think the Scots of the world would squirrel that away.
Oh, yes.
Like, I would want to see the algorithm, like, or the amortization schedule. You know, what exactly do I have to put back? Mm-hmm. If the government's not going to do it for me, what do I have to put back so I have something else?
You have a nest egg.
That number has been bumped up, Scott, by the way, to $168,000 a year.
Thank you for checking on that.
And a good way to keep money in the Social Security coffers is to quit taking money from it to pay for other things, which they do often.
There needs to be a rule that they cannot do that anymore now that, I mean, the house is on fire, let's be honest.
Oh, they do it all the time.
It is one of the largest expenditures in federal government spending every single year.
And it's only getting more because this is the year that everybody starts turning 65. Mm-hmm. We're screwed. I'm telling you, I sent this story to Scott and Sam today, and I said, we're screwed.
Well, but
Sam is more screwed than we are.
If only that were my least of concern.
Well, and we'll get into that a little bit right after the top of the hour. And then, we have this Broadgate story coming up in a minute, but we'll get to it before the end of the hour next hour. Because there's new surveys out about who is the most concerned that Social Security's not going to make it. I'm not. And here's why. Dana, you and I have been in this business for 30 years. Okay? Well, you a little bit less, but I've been in this business for 30 years.
Yeah.
When I was working at KOFO in 1994, I was reading stories about Social Security is not going to last. And here we are 30 years later.
Well, the politicians are not going to let it fail. They couldn't. There would be a riot.
Oh, there would be a revolution.
But eventually it just flat out will fail. There's not going to be a won't let it fail.
That's why I said one of the thoughts is we will just, what we'll do is as a safety net for lower income earners. They will get what they paid in. If you are a higher income earner, it will be some sort of sliding scale where you get a percentage of what you paid in, but you're not getting the entire enchilada.
So basically, it was a Ponzi scheme like we've always thought.
Correct.
Yeah. Here's something else that you need to take into account. If they want to save it, they have got to get it. I don't mean to sound all Ronald Reagan here for a second. They have got to get their handle on the amount of money that this federal government spends every single year in deficit spending. I just looked it up. We are currently at $36 trillion in debt. 24 years ago, at the turn of the century, in the year 2000, the United States was $5.6 trillion in debt. We have exploded that by $30 trillion in 24 years. $30 trillion.
Where's all the money going?
Well, you tell me. Wars and entitlements.
Yep.
Quick break for the news with Dan Weinbaum. That's coming up in 2 minutes. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott. Here on KMBZ, we will see you on the other side.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.